Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful here. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you do that this week, you'll be start to get my New Year resolution columns, the fundamentals that I'm talking about now for about 7 weeks. I have been already for 2 weeks and got five more to go after this week. And if you subscribe this week, you'll get the second week's edition. And if you ask us, if you make a little note in the comment section, we'll send you last week's, which will get you all, you'll wind up with all of the resolutions that I believe will help my business and your business if we pay a little more attention to them. Let me introduce you to Leslie Baines. Leslie is the president of AFS Intercultural Programs, which is one of the world's largest nonprofit community-based volunteer organizations dedicated to spreading peace throughout the world through intercultural exchange. And that's what we're going to talk about. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jim.
It's good to have you here, and I appreciate your time. You know, Leslie, my audience, some of them know that I'm a Rotarian, and one of the things that Rotary does really well is something called Group Study Exchange, GSE is the acronym, and this is where Rotary clubs in different parts of the world will exchange half a dozen people between districts, and maybe one in Thailand and one in Kentucky, two different Rotary districts, and they exchange those people for those teams, they call them, for only about 4 weeks or so. And it's just a way of finding out things. And so that's my experience with intercultural exchanges, but that's something that Rotary does as part of their mission. But this is a business for you, isn't it?
Very much so, but all intercultural exchanges, whether they last 1 week or we have programs that last a year, I think are extraordinarily valuable in really understanding different cultures. And by doing so, I think we can achieve a more peaceful and tolerant world.
Well, that word tolerance, that's something that seems to be, I don't know if it's in less supply than it used to be, but it seems to be that the intolerance is becoming more identified these days, don't you think?
Very much so. And I think that what we have tried to do is say, when are young people most open-minded? And we think between the ages of 16 and 19 years old is when they're very, very open.
Mm-hmm.
To new thoughts, new ideas. And so that's the age that we concentrate on, and we have programs that last from 3 months, 6 months, or a year. And we take students in one of 52 countries, and they will live with a host family for that period of time and really become part of the family unit and go to school.
Mm-hmm. And so but it's always between 16 and 19?
Generally, mm-hmm. We have some community-based programs, community service programs, that go up to age 25.
All right. So you said 52 countries. So it might be between Malaysia and Austria, or Singapore and the United States, that kind of thing.
Exactly. The origins were the old American Field Service, the ambulance corps drivers, back in the World War I and World War II. And in 1947, the U.S. government came to AFS and said, if we're going to create a more tolerant world and a more understanding world, we have got to understand Germans, and they have got to understand us.
Right.
And that's where we began. And the exchanges for the first 15 or 20 years were just with the United States and other countries. Mm-hmm. But now it's expanded, so now the United States exchanges are only about 25 or 30%, and the rest of them are worldwide. So we're taking students from Paraguay to Iceland, Iceland to Finland, Finland mm-hmm. to South America, et cetera.
Well, tell us a little bit about how... well, in terms of the cost of something like this, who bears the cost?
The cost, there's several ways that it can be paid for. The average cost is between $6,000 and $7,000 for a year program. Mm-hmm. What does that include? It includes all of the travel. We insure every student from the moment they leave the country until they return home from mm-hmm. a medical standpoint. We also... it covers all of the administration, work with the schools, et cetera.
But when they're in their homes, that's something that's shared by the host family, right?
Exactly.
All right, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought, Leslie. We're going to come back and talk about this some more with our new friend Leslie Bain. She's with AFS Intercultural Programs. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Leslie Baines, and we're talking about intercultural exchanges and the not only the technical part of this, the details of how it happens and who does it, but we're also going to be talking about the residual value, the impact, the what's left behind, what can be mm-hmm. how humanity can benefit from this kind of activity. Leslie, we're talking about the money, and you said it costs about $7,000. That covers the airlines, the travel, the insurance, the administration. But that while they're living with the family, the room and the board, the food, that's basically donated by the host family. Is that right?
Very much so. We have 30,000 volunteers worldwide, so it's one of the largest volunteer organizations in the world that provide these services, if you will, for lack of an elegant word, mm-hmm. To the students, and they're very much welcomed into the home. They think of them as their host mom and dads.
Well, it's really, you call it services, but it's really hospitality, isn't it?
It is.
It's really, it's sort of like a temporary adoption, isn't it?
Very much so, and in fact, sometimes it's almost permanent adoption because they call them mom and dad. They attend their weddings and funerals, and they stay in touch for 20, 30, 40 years.
A friend of mine who is the father of group study exchange and basically in my district of Rotary was one of the first. He was involved in the very first group study exchange in Rotary, and once a year or so, a different person that he has sort of adopted for over the years will come back from another country and visit with him. They'll show up at a Rotary Club. I mean, these are long-term relationships, many of them.
And that goes to the heart of the dividends of exchanges, is the passion that is developed not only on the part of the host family and of the student involved, but on part of the community for really understanding different cultures and the new relationships that are formed. And the lifelong interest, I think, on the part of all of these constituencies and the concern for other countries and international issues.
Right. So how would somebody, let's say someone is listening, a young person is saying, hey, that mm-hmm. sounds cool. I'd like to go to Helsinki, Finland, or I'd like to go to Austria, or I'd like to go to Japan or whatever. How do they get the process started?
I think the easiest thing is to go to our website, www.afs.org, and that gives a lot of background information on all of the countries that we're in. And one thing we do provide are scholarships. We have a lot of cultural diversity. We need more economic diversity, and we're doing that through a variety of means, from generous individuals, through corporations, and also governments.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, you know, Jim, I'd like to talk about a government initiative that the U.S. government did right after 9/11. And they said one of the most important things we need to do, just as we did in 1947 with Germany and Japan, et cetera, is that we've got to have a better understanding of the Muslim community and vice versa.
Well, and I want you to talk about that. One of the things I want to point out, though, just as a preamble to what you're about to say, I'd like to remind people that there are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. Mm-hmm. This is a group of people. For us non-Muslims, and I have many friends in Islam, but for those of us who are not in Muslims, this is a group of people that we desperately need to make sure that we understand and that they understand us. Go ahead, Leslie.
And for that reason, the U.S. government said that they wanted to start an initiative of student exchanges and bringing students from six predominantly Muslim countries to study here in the United States. And we have 300 students here right now studying in the United States, and mm-hmm. this program will go through 2006. And I was just in Malaysia and Thailand and the Philippines, which are part of this initiative. And the effects within those countries has been tremendous because they have become ambassadors, not only for their countries when they have been here, but also for the United States and our values and what we stand for when they return to their countries.
And you know, Leslie, I don't know if this is your experience, but in other exchanges like college exchanges that I know about, Turkey is leading the way in terms of a Muslim nation in terms of doing those exchanges.
Very much so, and that's one of the other countries involved, including Egypt and Tunisia. There are mm-hmm. six involved, and those are the six.
Well, good for you for the work that you're doing there, because we desperately need those kinds of experiences on both sides, don't we?
We certainly do, very much so.
Right. Talk to us now. So someone would go to the website, they would find out what it would take, and then would they make a phone call? Would they contact somebody, send an email?
Yes, they can do it online, or they can just call the number in their particular country. And in the U.S., we're divided up into four quadrants, so they can call the office that is closest to them and start the process.
And now look. This is some mother's little baby that we're going to send over across the water.
Exactly.
So mom's going to have to see somebody and make sure this baby's going to be okay. So when do we meet face-to-face?
And that's the volunteer network. They will sit down. I mean, we are in almost every city in the United States
right.
Where there has been somebody who that AFS has touched in some sort of way.
And can we find a list of those people on the website? Are they identified, or would you?
The local office will.
Put those people together. Right. All right.
Because you're absolutely right.
Leslie, stand by. I want to let you come back to that when we come back after these messages. I also want to talk about China, because you just got back from China, and I want you to tell us what you found over there. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back. Well, back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Leslie Baines is our guest, and she is president of AFS Intercultural Programs Incorporated. And folks, one of the reasons I wanted to have Leslie on, besides the fact that she's a really cool, really smart lady, is the fact is what she does and what her organization does and how important it is to, you know, when President Bush said to in his speech that last week, his important inaugural speech, he said to people in other parts of the world, if you want freedom and you're willing to stand up and demand your own freedom, we'll stand with you. And that sounds like a lot of different things. That sounds like maybe some military situations. Maybe it sounds like some economic issues. Maybe it sounds like some trade issues. But it also, I think, includes the work that you guys are doing.
Very much so. Both the 9/11 Commission report that was issued about 6 or 7 months ago, and also the recent comments coming out of the State Department reinforce the importance of intercultural exchanges. And I was just in Asia and met with the ambassador to Philippines and Malaysia and Thailand. and they talk about the effect in their country on intercultural exchanges and this administration really wanting to step up, quote-unquote, its investment in this area because they see the long-term dividends.
Well, when one of the things that I've learned firsthand with my experience in Rotary is, and I guess I always knew it, but I hadn't thought about it much until I had that experience being involved in the group study exchange, and that was that if I know somebody in a country that maybe, you know, is a little bit adverse situation with my country, I can't hate the people in that country because I know that I know somebody who's just a regular citizen of that country. And the more we have those kinds of exchanges, the more chance I think we have of living in peace. And I don't think that makes me a Pollyanna for saying that.
No, not at all. And I think Kennedy said it best in 1963 on the lawn of the White House when he was saying goodbye to 2,000 AFS students as they were about to return to their countries. And he said, when you go back to your countries and you hear occasionally somebody say something ugly about the United States, remember they're talking about the family you just lived with
right.
in Iowa.
Right, exactly. Well, and that was so well said. I'm glad you, thank you for bringing that quote to us, for reminding us about that. Okay, you just got back from China.
I did.
Tell us about that.
First of all, the change in was extraordinary. I was last there in 1998 on business, from the business, my business career. I just recently retired and became president of AFS. This is a country that is not sleeping. It's going 24 hours a day. The investment is startling in both Shanghai, which looks like an architect's contest is going on there.
The state bird is the crane, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. And China, and Beijing, where I was there in 1998, and there were 10 bicycles for every car. Right now, there are 10 cars for every bicycle.
Wow, that's got to be a little scary.
But they're coming to grips with the pollution aspects. They're putting the catalytic converters on the cars, et cetera.
Right.
But I also met with AFS students. They're very committed to intercultural exchanges. We have 150 exchanges going on in the moment. And right now we have 52 students from the United States, Germany, Thailand, et cetera, studying in China, but not in Beijing and Shanghai. Some of them are. But they're out in Urumqi and they're out in Turpan. And they're all over the country.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the most interesting things that's going on. China is a sleeping giant, and it's waking up, as you know, and they've got some challenges that they've got to deal with. But they, I read an article recently, I guess it was this week, that of how they're predicting, you know, and some other thoughtful people are predicting that China will overtake our economy in maybe say 20 years or so in terms of growth. They've averaged, adjusted for inflation, 8% growth for the last 10 or 20 years.
Right, and I think they're trying to figure out how to slow it down
a bit. They are because they've overtaxed their credit systems over there. All right, I got about 30 seconds, Leslie. Where's the hot country for 2005 to try to go to?
The new initiatives are to continue to expand in China. To continue the Muslim initiative, I think that's essential.
Now, are we
also
sending people,
India.
Are we sending people to those countries? Are we sending people to Turkey and the Muslim countries?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Very much so. Plus, India.
India, too.
We are about to start a program in India about July 1.
Right.
I mean, clearly another one that is almost as important as China.
Give us the website again one more time.
www.afs.org.
Thank you, Leslie, for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Leslie Baines, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.